God is good all the time. And there's a healer in the house today.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Father, we thank you for fresh oil today. We thank you for a fresh anointing. I pray, Father God, as we look into your word, that perhaps there's things that we've missed or we didn't see or we didn't hear the time before, and that through your spirit, you will unveil and you will reveal those things to us today. Lord, I pray that this message will be a life-changing message, that it's not just going to be a good message and you say, wow, it was a good word today, and you go home. No, Lord, we want this to be life-changing. When I say amen or I say goodbye, it's not over, because you are so alive and your word is alive. So we thank you for a living word today, Father God, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said, amen. I want to mention a couple things that I have back on the tool table. I always say when a carpenter builds a house, he has to use tools. And for us to build our faith, well, got to use tools. And so there's a tool table back in the foyer. Now, some of you probably already have this book, Instructions from the Great Physician. How many have this book? Oh, well, there's a lot of them back there, so you need to get one, because it talks about instructions from the great physician. And God has instructions for us to receive healing. If you don't know the instructions, it's hard to know how to receive. It's just like, for example, if a doctor gave you a prescription and on your little medicine bottle it says take one tablet 3 times a day, and you decide, well, I don't want to have to remember to do it 3 times, so I'll just take all 3 of them, but I'll just do it in the morning. Well, you've changed the instructions, and it just may not work for you. Or you might think, wow, this medication is so expensive. I think, because medication gets to be expensive from what I don't, praise God, I take nothing. But I hear people say, oh, it's so expensive. But so you might decide, I think I'll just do it every other day, and I can stretch it out. That way I only have to buy it every other month. If you change the instructions, it's not going to work. Or you might think, I know this medication is going to, this is the very thing I need. I'm going to just take the whole thing and be done with it. You'll be done all right. You see, you can't change the instructions. And in Proverbs 4:13, the Bible says, take hold of instructions and don't let go of instructions, because it matters what the instructions say, and it matters that you follow the instructions. And it also says that God's word is medicine to your flesh. It isn't kind of like it. It isn't sort of like it. It is medicine. And one thing dynamic about God's medicine, no negative side effects. Amen. To God be the glory. You can't overdose. The lady that was clapping, I want to give you this book. Come up here. Or somebody go back. Sherry, go back and give her this book.
Sure. I'll take notes.
Oh, she's taking notes. Okay. Then I have another little, this is called Daily Power Bar for Healing. And I want to explain how this works. It's filled, well, the very first scripture is in Proverbs on following God's instructions. Then there's numerous healing scriptures in here. There's also the prayer of the Apostle Paul for spiritual enlightenment, for inner strength. Because sometimes, you know, you need to have inner strength, because sometimes you get so distracted with pain and symptoms that you can get weary in well-doing. And that's when you need the inner strength to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And then there's a little prayer in the very back. And it says, Spirit of, and then there's a blank in there. And that's where you would put, just name whatever infirmity is attacking you. Let's just say, Spirit of diabetes, in the name of Jesus, I pull you down from your position of authority. I break the power of assignment you have against me, for it is written. And then you pick up that healing scripture, that dose of medicine that ministers to you, for it is written, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed of diabetes. No weapon of diabetes formed against me will prosper. That's how you take the medicine. That's how you follow the instructions. So that's back there on the back table, Daily Power Bar for Healing. user-friendly, keep it in your pocket, keep it in your glove compartment, keep it in your, you know, because it matters. You know, it matters what church you go to. It matters that you know how to take God's medicine. It matters that you know that you have the Holy Spirit as your helper. Those things matter. It matters to you. I have another brand new item here. And this is, and I just call this the Battle of the Lords card. And it starts off at the very top. The battle is the Lord's. Therefore, and then I speak this to the Lord. You deliver me from the snare of the fowler. You give me angelic assistance. You laugh at the plots of the wicked. You break down the wall of separation. You rebuke the devourer. You multiply my seed sown. You make the crooked places straight. You uphold the righteous. You cover me with your blood. You heal and help. You heal my body. You help and justify me. You restore my soul. You give me strength. You give me wisdom. You fight my battle. Therefore, I shall enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. This fits right in your Bible. Amen. Would you like to have one? Glory. She's got a big smile on her face. Some of you probably already have this. It's a laminated card and it's designed to go into the bathroom shower. You know, the Bible says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Don't wait to the end of the day to light your path when you can do it in the morning shower. There are scriptures on both sides for wealth and for health. By his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed of all diseases. I'm strong and healthy. I decree in Jesus' name, I am free of migraine headaches. I have a good memory. That means you don't participate in senior moments. You know, people joke about that. Not funny. Alzheimer's, dementia, not funny. So I'm free and I have a good memory. My vision is sharp and clear. My hearing is restored. My joints are pain-free. I'm delivered from arthritis. My immune system is healthy. My cholesterol count is normal. My organs function properly. Body, you are healed and whole. For wealth, the blessings of the Lord makes rich. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm above and up beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I bring my tithes into the storehouse. That means you have to show up because it says you bring them. Didn't say I mailed it and I dropped it off at the UPS. No, I bring my tithes into the storehouse. The windows of heaven are open to me and the Lord rebukes the devourer. What an awesome benefit from your tithe that the Lord will actually rebuke the devourer from stealing your money. There will be a divine connection. I mean, God loves to do those things. I'm furnished in abundance for every good work and donation. Every seed I sow is returned to me multiplied. You don't drop your offering into a bucket and think, well, there went that. And you think, well, now, and so many people think subtraction. God is not in the business of subtraction. So you might think, well, I did have $20 when I came to church, but now I've got 20 less. No. You just planted a seed. So you want to speak life over that seed, that every seed you sow, it comes back to you multiplied. Because God multiplies. He does not subtract. So that's where you got to have the right thinking so that you're not thinking subtraction every time you sow a seed or give an offering. You're thinking multiplication, multiplication. I'm highly favored of the Lord. The work of my hands prosper, and I have creative ideas. Who takes a shower? There you go. I hope you do. I didn't. Who would like to have this little power pack? You in the way in the back. Mm-hmm. Sherry, meet her halfway. This is another new book I have. This is called Guidelines Praying for the Sick. I did write one version, and I preached from it. And as soon as I finished preaching, I thought, oh, my goodness, the Lord just gave me like three new chapters. So it's called Guidelines Praying for the Sick. But let me just tell you what some of the titles are. First of all, as an ambassador for Christ, every one of you are the minute you're born again, you are an ambassador for Christ. And you are called into the ministry of reconciliation and to pray for people. And it's so important that you understand how to pray. especially for the sick. And there is a time of preparation, especially if you're going to be doing hospital ministry. You're not going to come off the golf course and go right into the ICU unit. It takes time to prepare because you're expecting God to use you as a vessel that can speak healing into a body that's crippled and could be dying. It's a very important position. And then God's will and his ways. So many people don't know the will and the way of God. And as an ambassador, if you're going to pray for the sick, you need to know God's will and his ways, because then you are more equipped. Those needing prayer, that's one of the excellent chapter. And then there's another chapter, why some don't receive healing. And there's some numerous testimonies that I know personally that I have put in this book, why people don't receive healing. And it's important not only to understand healing, but it's important to understand why people don't receive. Because if you don't understand that, it could be that maybe someday you would get sick and you would think, well, my friend was in faith and they didn't receive. I know I'm in faith, but maybe I won't receive either. Wrong thinking. Dangerous thinking. So you need to know why some people don't receive healing. It's very, very powerful. And then locating faith. It's important that when you're praying for sick, you need to locate where people's faith is. I remember after the tsunami, I was preaching in Indonesia, and a whole congregation of people came in. They were all Muslims. And they assumed that they were Christians because they were not practicing the Muslim religion. And I knew they weren't born again, but I couldn't say, now listen, none of you guys are born again. I couldn't say that they'd up and walked out of me because they're thinking they're born again. Actually, they were thinking they were Christians. They didn't even know the term born again. So what I knew I had to meet them on their level. So I said to them, I am so thrilled to know that all of you are Christians today. And because you're a Christian, I want to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they thought, well, is that wonderful or what? I mean, they all got saved then because they didn't know they could have a personal relationship with Jesus. See, it's important that you locate people's faith because they're not going to be on your level the majority of the time. You want to meet them where they are and then you take them right up. It's so important. Amen. Anyway, there's a lot of more chapters in praying in a hospital setting, a roadmap to salvation. There's a roadmap also for bringing people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I even have my own personal healing testimony in here. But it's a powerful, powerful little book. I saw some. Yes, it's yours, way in the back. I couldn't even speak and it was already gone. This book, very tattered and torn, is my very first book, but I use it all the time. But it's my daily, daily, daily delight in the Lord. And I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you. But one of them, and I'm a chaplain with the police department, and many of you probably have already heard me say that I'm a chaplain with the police department. But when I get into the police cars, because I drive in the police cars with the officers, and it's so important. You don't even have to be a police officer, but it's so important that you understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because too often when a negative thing happens, people say, well, that person was sure in the wrong place at the wrong time. How many have heard that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That almost implies they could have been in the wrong place at the right time. See how silly that sounds? If it's the wrong place, honey, it's always the wrong time. There's never a right time to be in the wrong place. Never, never. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth all the time. Now, we're not perfect. We'll miss it from time to time. But you want to miss it a lot less often. When you hear about these mass shootings, guess what? Wrong place. And most of the time, matter of fact, every time, you can go back and find where that person had an unction, especially if they knew the Lord, that they knew, I shouldn't have gone there. How many have done something, you went someplace and later on after everything went wrong and the dust all settled and you think, I knew it, I knew I shouldn't have gone there. How many? Uh-huh. Amen. Why? You violated the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I had, another thing I was just teaching on recently, and I teach this a lot to the police department. But when you drive your car, And this isn't even my sermon this morning. But when you drive your car, what do you do at a red light? Stop. Green light? Go. The Holy Spirit, right here, says, the Spirit of truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today. So if you're thinking to do something and you have peace about it, that's a green light. You got peace. But if you have a check in your spirit, that's a red light. Beep, beep, beep. Better not do that. Better not go there. Better not say that. And then when something bad happens, a negative thing happens, so often people blame the Lord. Why did God let that happen? Let me ask you the question. Who just went through the red light? God didn't go through the red light. We too often go through the red light. That's why every day Spirit of truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today. Especially the world we're living in, you need to be very in tune to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's other scriptures in here. The eye of my understanding is enlightened to his calling. I know his will for my life, and I walk in it with clarity of vision, with confidence, and an inner knowing. So many people want to, what is God's will for my life? You can know it. You have to know it. Amen. And then I have some cards on the back table. If you'd like to be in partnership with our ministry and get the newsletter, you know, partnership is two-sided. I pray for my partners every day. And so if you want to get a partnership card and fill that out, you'll get the newsletter. I pray for you. You pray for me. You might feel led to even support the ministry. We're actually believing for 10 new partners this month. So, but feel free to go back there. But, you know, I want to read something to you out of Romans 1, verse 11. This is the Apostle Paul as he was speaking to the church in Rome. And he said, I long to see you that I may impart a spiritual gift to make you strong. And that is my desire that I today, well, every time I preach, but it's my desire to impart something into you, a gift into you that will be life-changing, that will increase your hearing, your seeing, your knowing. It will be a gift that will make you strong, that will increase you in the ways and the will of God. Amen. So I've titled this message this morning, All Things Are Possible with God. Now that's in Matthew 19:26. Let me tell you what it does not say. It does not say all things are automatic. It says possible. Does not say automatic. Possible through faith. But faith has an enemy. Fear, worry, anxiety, doubt. That's the enemy of your faith. And fear comes from when you go through a negative situation and then you feed on that negative situation. You rehearse it. You replay it over and over and over in your mind. You think, I shouldn't have said that, or I wish I would have said this, or I should have done that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you you replay it over and over and over in your mind, and that builds up more anxiety, fear, frustration. It cripples your faith. It cripples your faith. Fear comes on feeding negative thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, if you don't take every negative thought captive, then you will have an imagination. And that imagination gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it becomes a stronghold. And once you've got a stronghold, it's hard to get loose. A gentle hold, you can just get free. But when it's strong, you got warfare on your hand. So when something negative happens, the minute that happens, you take that negative thought captive. And how do you do it? Well, it tells you in Philippians chapter 4, 7, 8, and 9, whatsoever things are true and just and pure and lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on those things. And then your heart is flooded with peace. And peace is the indicator of your faith. So it's so important that you feed your faith on truth. Fear comes from feeding on something negative. Faith is built when you feed on truth. So as you feed your faith on truth, you will come to a place in your life where you will develop what the Bible calls a spirit of faith. Now, not every believer has a spirit of faith. Now, God has given every person faith, but not every person develops their faith to the level that they have a spirit of faith. You know what a spirit of faith is? I like to say it like this. It's an attitude. It's an attitude where you refuse to be defeated. You need to get to that place where you refuse to be defeated. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. We speak with a spirit of faith. See, a spirit of faith speaks truth, speaks faith Sunday through Sunday. Not just Sunday after you've been in church all day. It's what you say on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's a spirit of faith. You have it all week long. That's a spirit of faith. Because we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to walk by the truth, not by the facts. Some people say, well, what's the big deal about faith? Why is faith so important? Well, now we know every person has been given a measure of faith. But in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What that means is without using your faith, it's impossible to please God. So you have to use your faith. And one thing about faith, it is the most powerful possession that we have. There's not one human being, there's not one organization, there's not a king, queen, president, no law, no person can stop you from using your faith. That's awesome. No one can stop us from coming boldly into the throne room of grace to ask for help in time of need. They can make a law against the law to pray in school. They can't stop you. Literally impossible to stop you from praying or using your faith. God did something special, put an element in faith that is impossible for anybody to stop you from using it. To me, that is just awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, we thank God for our salvation, but I think, thank you, Lord, that you have given us faith that there's no human being, no law, no organization can stop us from fellowshipping or communing with the Father. Awesome, awesome. Now, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. And that's the only fight we have to fight. And that means you want to fight because you don't want to get weary in well-doing. So you got to fight that you don't give up, that you don't quit. But a spirit of faith has a fight to it. A spirit of faith refuses to be defeated. Now, James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. It says, faith without works is what? Dead. It's dead. But listen to me. Faith without a fight behind it does no works. faith without works is dead. But a faith that has no fight behind it, it doesn't do anything. Squat diddly. It's a wimpy. Wimpy people don't win. Wimpy faith gets no victory. You got to have a fight to your faith. And when you have a fight to your faith, you get results. But if you have no fight, there's no results. No results whatsoever. For example, if you were very poor and you had no shoes to keep your feet warm, no shoes to protect your feet from rocks and stubble, so I give you shoes. But you never wear the shoes. Well, then the shoes are useless. Those shoes will produce no results for you to keep your feet warm if you don't use them. Well, so it is with faith. God gave us faith, but if you're not going to use it, might as well not even have it. Is that true? If you're not going to use it, there's not going to be any results. So faith that gets results is a faith that has a fight behind it. You have to have a fighting spirit. Now, we're going to look at the life of three people in the Bible this morning, and you're going to know all three of them. And we're going to look, did they have a fight to their faith? We're going to check this out. Now, you'll know all three of these people. This first one talks about in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, is the woman with the issue of blood. Now, this woman is preached about, we can't even begin to count how many times she's been preached about, and we don't even know her name. I can't wait to meet her in heaven someday. I said, what is your name? But it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, she actually felt her healing in her body, that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Because he felt that power had gone out of him, by the time he realized that it had gone out of him, it had already happened. So he had nothing to do. He did not initiate the healing. For example, if you have a flat tire in your car, by the time you realize you've got a flat tire, it already went flat. Amen. By the time he realized that power had gone out of him, it had already happened. So he didn't initiate that point. So now we're going to look at this a little bit closer. So now, here's this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. It said she suffered many things from many physicians. That tells me that some of these doctors put her through some painful procedures. Amen? So she suffered, and then it says she only got worse. She's hearing one negative report after another for 12 years. Getting worse. It's very possible that maybe one or two, maybe even three or four of those doctors said to her, lady, you're just going to have to learn to live with it. Mm-hmm. Maybe those are words that you've heard. Maybe the doctor said, hey, you're just going to have to learn to live with that diabetes. You're just going to have to learn to live with those allergies. You're going to have to learn to live with that affliction. You're going to have to learn to live with that chronic pain. You're going to have to learn to live with that heart condition. Let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Those are words that maybe you've heard and it's not true. Let me ask you, what are you rehearsing in your mind? What have you been replaying over and over and over? Is it that doctor's report? Hey, you're just going to have to learn to live with those allergies. You're just going to have to learn to live with that diabetes. And you think, well, today, oh boy, my allergies are really driving me crazy. Because you've lived with it. You've accepted it. You've accepted that negative report. But when this woman heard about Jesus, she changed. She changed. For 12 years, you know how long that is? 4,380 days, she heard the facts. 4,380 days, she's hearing the facts over and over and over. Lady, you're just going to have to learn to live with it. But one day, when she heard about Jesus, she changed her focus from facts to truth. She put a fight to her faith, and she was not about to miss that opportunity. After 4,380 days, she had to fight physically to get to that crowd. It said that she pressed her way through the crowd. She's probably saying, excuse me. I'm telling you, with an issue of blood for 4,380 days and you're getting worse, that lady was anemic. Anemic, weak, and frail after 4,380 days and getting worse. And she's got to press through that crowd. Anemic, weak, and frail. And so she's pressing through to get to the front of the crowd so she could touch the hem of his garment. It could have been, just could have been, somebody in that crowd turned around and said to her, "Lady, stop pushing." I've been to Disneyland. Amen? Hey, my grandkids were here first. We want to say it, we don't say it maybe, but it could have been somebody say, "Hey, lady, stop pushing. We were here first. You take your turn." Could have been. And I wonder if somebody said that to her, if at one moment, maybe emotionally, because she fought physically, I'm sure she fought emotionally. She probably thought, "What am I doing? What am I doing?" I mean, she's weak and frail, and she's all these people in that crowd. I don't know if there was a split moment where she thought, "I better be careful here." But I do know she didn't. She didn't quit. She pressed through that crowd, and she received her healing because she changed her focus from facts to truth. It says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap if you do not give up." It could have been at some point with that weak, frail body that she just felt a little bit discouraged and, "Oh, I just got to keep pressing through." She didn't have the Holy Ghost like we have to keep herself built up, to keep on pressing through, but she pressed through. Today, twice this year, I was preaching in a church. It's happened twice. And the pastor has come up and said, "Oh, I got a couple phone calls this morning. So-and-so isn't going to make it to church today. They don't feel good, and they've got to go to the clinic." And I think, They couldn't press through to come to church to hear a message of healing. But they could press through to get to the clinic. Doctors treat, Jesus heals. They'll press through to go to the wrong place. It's called a lazy spirit. Sometimes it's called a wimpy spirit. I don't mean to be harsh, but you know what? It takes effort. It does take effort. So she pressed through that crowd after 4,380 days. And when she changed her focus, listen to me, when she changed her focus from facts to truth, she changed her identity. She was no longer the woman with the issue of blood. She was now the woman healed of the Lord. She changed her identity. That's pretty awesome. Her faith changed her identity. All things are possible with God, but not automatic. Now, you know, opportunities come and they go. And we don't get a pick when they come. But we do have a choice to respond when they do come. She wasn't about to miss her opportunity that day. She responded and she received. But too many today, I'm just amazed at how many people, and I'm talking about believers, are constantly talking to Mr. Google. I mean, how many times a day are you talking to Mr. Google? "Oh, I got to Google this. I got to Google this." Mr. Google is not the healer. It's fine to get directions or something else, but I mean, there are so many people going to the library, the internet, Mr. Google, to research a negative report, and all that's going to do is increase fear, and fear is going to cripple your faith. Mr. Google is not the answer. Mr. Google gives you facts. John 17, 17, Jesus says, he gives you truth. John 8, 32, you will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It's the truth that heals you, not the facts. You have to know the truth. Don't magnify the facts. Don't build up on the facts. Now, the next person, you're going to know this person. His name is Bartimaeus. How many heard about Bartimaeus? We're going to read this in the beginning of Mark chapter 10. It says, as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And then it says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. You know, it sounds so hypocritical. First they say, oh, be quiet, be quiet. Oh, sir, he's calling you. And at that point it says, and Bartimaeus, throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And he's standing there right before the eyes and face of Jesus. Now let's take a closer look at Bartimaeus. He's a blind man sitting along the side of a road. This road is a very busy road. It's not some side road. It had to be a very busy road because every day he is begging for his daily provision. So he's got to be on a busy road where there is a lot of traffic. You can almost close your eyes and just envision, because you've probably seen a lot of Bible stories on television where people are walking down a dirt road and probably wearing sandals, and with every step they take, the dust flies up. Maybe some have pretty turbans on their head and long gowns or those robes, and maybe there's a little boy with a rope around the cow's neck and taking him down to the river. I mean, you can just almost envision this big, busy road where Bartimaeus is sitting. And as he's sitting there, blind, but he can hear. And he can hear all the people talk, 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 talk. Everybody's talking. He can hear them. And maybe there's somebody sitting along or walking along the side of the road. And maybe there's a little boy says, Daddy, who's that person sitting over there? Oh, they call him blind Bartimaeus. And maybe somebody else is walking by and couple guys, maybe they're talking, and they kind of walk their way over to Bartimaeus and just drop a couple coins in his lap. And Bartimaeus hears their conversation. They say, did they just say something about Jesus? Hey, come back. Did you say something about Jesus? Is Jesus coming this way today? Come back, tell me. I can imagine at that point when he hears about Jesus coming that way, that the adrenaline starts racing. I imagine his heart goes thump, 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 thump. He can't see. Is Jesus halfway up that road? Is he right there, or is he about to leave? He's got to do something. He's got to move. Something's got to happen. Quick, heart, thump, 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 thump. He shouts, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And all those people, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Sound familiar? Ladies, stop pushing. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Did she stop pushing? No. Did he stay quiet? No. The Bible said he shouted even louder, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And I said, Jesus stood still. Why? He heard the sound of faith. Let me tell you, heaven stands at attention the moment it hears the sound of faith from you and from me. Heaven stands at attention, ready to move at the sound of faith. How awesome is that? And then when Jesus called for Bartimaeus, he did something very significant. The Bible says he threw off that garment. What was the big deal about that? In order for him to have permission, legal right, to sit on the side of the road and beg. He had to have permission from the high priest. Not like today where someone just gets a tattered piece of cardboard and says, God bless you, and sits along the side of the road on the highway. No, back then, you had to have permission. And if you were granted permission, you were given a special garment so that the people would know he has every right to be there and beg. That garment given to Bartimaeus from the high priest represented his identity. And when he threw off that garment, he threw off that negative identity. He said, I'm not going to be blind anymore. What identity are you wearing? Are you wearing diabetes? Allergies? What are you wearing? When Bartimaeus changed his focus from facts to truth, he changed his identity. He was no longer blind Bartimaeus, but he was Bartimaeus, healed of the Lord. And it could have been maybe the next day there came that father with his little boy. And the little boy said, hey, who's that man? That looks like that guy that was blind. He says, yeah, he's not blind anymore. That's Bartimaeus, healed of the Lord. See, he changed his identity when he changed his focus from facts to truth. All things are possible, but not automatic. It matters what we think. We're going to look at a third person. You'll know this person. Her name is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified, so I want you just to listen as I read. Okay. Maybe I bumped it. Hallelujah. Am I on? Am I on? No. Okay. Am I on? No. In Luke chapter 1, it says, and he came to her and he said, now this is the angel coming to Mary. Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women. Now, the angel is speaking from the realm of truth. He's speaking from the realm of the supernatural. And then the angel goes on to say, And then Mary says to herself, but when she saw him, she was greatly troubled. She was disturbed and she was confused. Who's the author of confusion? Not the Lord. She's confused at what he said, and she kept revolving in her mind what the angel said. What does this mean? She is thinking about the facts. She's just thinking about in the natural realm. What does this mean? So the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. How many times do we read in the Bible, fear not, fear not, do not be afraid, only believe. The angel says, Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found grace with God. And then the angel says, listen. Listen, Mary. I want to stop for just a moment. Let's just imagine that it's Friday night and you're going to go out to dinner, 6 o'clock. Your best restaurant. I mean, it is packed with people at 6 o'clock on Friday night. You can walk in there, put your name down on the waiting list, and you can close your eyes and already know at that moment, man, this place is packed out tonight, because you can hear the voices, right? You know that place is busy, busy, busy. I mean, you could be, close your eyes and you can know, because you can hear all the voices. But when you go to sit down at your table, you're only going to listen to the people at your table. You can still hear all the voices, but you're focusing on listening to the people at your table. I can remember once I was visiting at my daughter's house and my grandson was getting ready to go on the school bus. And she says, "Now, Matthew, do not leave your new jacket on the school bus when you come home tonight." She said, "Are you listening to me?" He said, "I heard you, Mom." She said, "No, I don't want to know if you heard. I want to know, did you listen?" Because see, sometimes you hear things, but you're not focusing on it. It matters. Did you hear or are you listening? And the angel says, "Mary, listen. You will become pregnant and you will give birth to a son and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages. And of his reign there shall be no end." Wow, we're talking about the supernatural. This is the angel is talking again about the realm of truth, the realm of the supernatural. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband?" She is still focusing on the facts. She's just focusing on the natural realm. So the angel has to speak to her again. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the offspring which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And listen, listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren." That's another miracle right there. Then look what the angel said. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Is that awesome or what? I mean, let's look at it again. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." The angel, again, is speaking from the realm of the spirit, the realm of the supernatural. And then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said." And at that point, the angel left. Why did the angel leave? Because at that point, Mary changed her focus from facts to truth. She came into agreement with the truth. And it could have been at that moment that it was the moment of conception. I don't know. I do know it could not happen before then. She had to come into agreement with truth. And when she said, "Be it unto me," it could have been the instant of conception. But we face the same challenge too often that Mary had, always focusing on the natural, always focusing on the facts. When it said that she was greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused, how many times do we get confused? We question sometimes when God tells us something. If God says it, that's it. Don't have to try to figure it out. Just trust and obey him. Because all things are possible with God, but they are not automatic. We have a great responsibility. We have to turn our focus from facts to truth, no matter what the situation says, no matter how impossible it might seem to you. You've got to change your focus from facts to truth, and then you can change your identity. Mary changed her identity. She was no longer just Mary. She became the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. She changed her identity, didn't she? So did Bartimaeus, and so did the woman that we read about in the Gospel of Mark. You can change your identity. How many need your identity changed? Don't be the person with diabetes or allergies. You know what? It takes effort. It does take effort. There's a story, I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke, where You know, Jesus always went to the mountains to be alone to pray with the Father. He was a mountain climber. He liked going way up there where he could be all alone with the Father and pray. But one day, he's going to go to the mountains, and the Bible says it was a high mountain. And he invited Peter, James, and John to go with him. And they're fishermen. And now they're invited to go mountain climbing with Jesus. I can imagine they're halfway up that mountain, and they start huffing and a puffing. Because Jesus is a mountain climber, and they're fishermen, huffing and a puffing. Peter probably shouts, Jesus, are we almost there? What's going on here? Are we almost to the top? But when they got to the top and they witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus, don't you know, it was worth all the effort it took to climb that mountain. You see, things happen on the mountaintop that just don't happen in the valley below. Things happen on the mountaintop, just don't happen in the valley below. It takes effort. You got to have that bulldog tenacity. You've got to have that spirit of faith rising up within you where you absolutely refuse to be defeated. It takes effort. But once again, things happen on the mountaintop that just don't happen in the valley below. How many need their destiny changed? How many of you need your identity changed today? I want to pray with you today. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe the doctor said, you know, you're just going to have to learn to live with those allergies. You know, some of these little things, we just think, oh, well, it's no big deal. It is a big deal to Jesus because he died on the cross for every one of those things. And it gives him glory. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says, glorify me in your body and in your spirit. He said, because it's mine. He said, I purchased it, belongs to the Lord. So we glorify God when we walk in healing. But you just have to have that attitude. I refuse to be defeated. I will not quit. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for your holy written word. I thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to develop that spirit of faith where we absolutely refuse to be defeated. Lord, I pray that this word takes deep root into each and every heart today, that they'll never be the same, that this can be a life-changing message as they grab hold of it, that they press through, just pressing through like the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed through. She changed her identity. And Lord, I pray today for every person here that they would be strengthened in might by your spirit in their inner man. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. If there's anybody here today, and maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, now that is the greatest miracle of all. That's greater than being healed. I mean, I've been healed of cancer, raised from my deathbed from malaria. But being born again, that's the only miracle and the greatest miracle you'll ever have. But that's the one that guarantees you a home in heaven. And not only are you promised a home in heaven, but you are also guaranteed that before you go to heaven, and while you're on this earth, the Holy Spirit is going to come and abide within you. He's present now. He lives within you. But you can learn to respond to him. Learn to listen to his voice. Learn to allow him to guide you. Because the Spirit of Truth, his assignment on the earth is to guide you into all the truth of his word, the truth in relationships, the truth into finances, the truth into healing. He is here to guide you into the truth of every situation you will ever encounter. He is here to be your helper. He's not the doer. He is the helper. So I want everybody just to close your eyes for just a moment. No one's looking around but me. If you've never prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, I want you just to lift up your hand real high so I can pray with you. Is there anybody here you've never prayed that prayer? Or maybe you've prayed and you've drifted away, but you just sense The Holy Spirit is just wooing you back to Him today because He loves you so much. Is there anybody here today you would say, that's me, Marilyn? Anybody at all? So you're all, if you're all saved, just raise your hand. You all know you're going to go to heaven? Hallelujah. You know, let's just pray that prayer corporately and just do a refreshing. Let's just do it together. And if you've never prayed that prayer, I want you to pray it with all your heart right now. And just repeat after me. Dear God, I do believe that Jesus is your Son. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. Forgive me of my sin. Give me strength. Teach me your word. As I look into your word, I pray the Holy Spirit to enlighten it to me. I receive you today as my personal Savior. And I choose to allow you to be the Lord of my life, to be my boss. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've got pain or sickness in your body, do you want me to turn this over to you, Dee, first and pray for people? Or is... what would you like? Okay, I'll let you do that. And then I can come back and pray. Okay.
I'd like to give you an opportunity to...